Certainly it's good to see each and everyone out here tonight. You know, it really is a privilege and an honor to be able to stand before you tonight. It's really a great blessing. We're so blessed to be able to come together and worship together with our brothers and sisters in Christ and to assemble together and sing songs and praise unto the Lord. Thank you, everyone, for coming. Tonight, if I can pull this off, I have a message, and it's titled, The Voice of Truth. And I know sometimes as we go through life, and every day, as a matter of fact, we obey some voice or another. We either obey the voice of truth, or we listen to the voice of discouragement, or we listen to the voice that tells lies to us. And I want to try to help you tonight, and I know it helps me to get into the Word. And I'm going to give you some examples of people who had choices of which ones to listen to. And maybe it'll help you, and I know it helps me and encourages me to see people who made those right choices, and I want it to help you to make the right choices too. Turn with me if you would. You all know the story, I'm sure, to 1 Samuel. This starts in chapter 17. It's a story about David and Goliath. Lord, y'all hear about David all the time if you hear me preach. But he's a real great one in my book. He is very awesome right from the very start. His attitude and the way he feels and the way he's founded in God, it leaves you something to be envious of, you know. But even him young and a little shepherd boy, and getting to go out here to his father send him out there to the battlefield and him getting to see it normally, and we can tell that from what his brothers told him, or one of them did in verse 28 there about his brother Eliab. He was telling him, you know, we know what he did. He was the keeper of them sheep. And he's giving him a hard time about it. What are you doing down here and all this? But anyway, this person he was going against, Goliath, great massive man. It says 6 cubits in a span. Cubic being 18 inches. That's one reason they use different, or some of them use different standards. We'll just say if he was a huge man anyway. Tells the things that he has on him in verse 4. It starts there and goes down through there telling about he had a coat of mails, and the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. Huge. And it says he was a champion from his youth. He was a great warrior. Here, this little shepherd boy, though, he was very founded. He knew God. And he knew what God was all about. And he was very in tune with God. And he was very in tune with what's going on here, too, as well. And he had a mighty purpose to accomplish here. And this is just the beginning of him. But I want you to just look at some of the things as we go through this and see what he's told and what they talk about and gather. And I'll try to point out some of the points in it. It says, in verse 9, it talks about there, or 8, it says, he stood and he cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and you a servant to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. And if he be able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. So they're making a deal here. He's saying, we don't have to fight a battle here today. We'll just pick our best man and you pick yours and I'm him. And let's just see. And when it's done, you'll be our servants. You know, it wasn't too nice a thing to be saying to the children of the Almighty God that if we win, you're going to be my servants, is it? Just think of what kind of put down that is. You know, and in the perspective here, it doesn't seem that anyone else gets this. Nobody but David gets this, really. You know, I mean, his attitude toward it as we get on down in there to it, very specific as to how he feels. It says, the Philistine said, I divide the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all of Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. You know what? They were looking at the physical circumstances. They were looking at this big, huge, massive man. How many times do we look at the physical circumstances and situations and we're defeated already? We look and think, there ain't no way. Our logical mind kicks in and we just say, it just can't happen. We're the same way, aren't we? We shouldn't be, though. That's the thing. We should not be that way. This is the voice of discouragement here. We have it, you know, you may not have an audible voice talking to you, but there's a conversation going on within you all the time. You're reasoning within your mind. You're thinking in your thoughts what decisions you're going to make, either right or wrong or for God or not. Or you're going to do it in believing in God and trusting in God and putting your faith in Him, or either in unbelief. And we as children of the Lord should not be have unbelief. It's awful. It's turning back on God. It's sedition is what it is. It's lack of faith that we have sometimes. But the reason I'm going to tell you these things is maybe that will help you. It says, now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and had eight sons. And the man went among them for an old age in the days of Saul. We'll skip on down here and let's get into verse 23. It talks a little bit. It says, and as they talked with him, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, verse 23, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they fled from him and were sore afraid. They run and hid. You have the armies of the Almighty God standing here. You know, and God promised them many times, if you read through the Old Testament, how that if they'd trust in Him, if they'd put their faith in Him, how that He'd go out before them. He even gave them all kinds of examples. He showed them. He sent the angels out and slaughtered them. All kinds of things. How the battle was theirs for the taking. And here they are hiding. And sorely afraid, just at the sight of this big, huge champion man. Giant. Named Goliath. Or he like that sometimes? We just feel like so many people's against us, there's no way to win. Well, that's exactly how the devil wants us to feel. He wants us to be defeated. He wants us to be downtrodden and downcast. He wants us not to believe. And he'll do anything he can. And the devil does have power in this earth because he's the prince of this world. God allows him a certain amount of things that he's able to do. If you don't believe it, just look around. You know, the Bible talks about him, and it talks about him even appearing as an angel of light to deceive people. He's very powerful. And over in Genesis there with Adam and Eve, it says he was more subtle than any of the beasts of the field. He knows exactly how to do what he does. And you know, the other thing about it is, he knows exactly how to deal with you too. He's seen what you do in certain situations. He's studied you to an art. He knows what your weaknesses is. He knows what your strengths is. He's not going to take you on your strengths neither. He's going to get you with your weaknesses. We've got to learn to listen to the right voice. Let's skip over here into verse 26. It says, and David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to this man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Who does this man think he is, in other words? This little shepherd boy, he's saying what all these other men should be saying. He's thinking out loud, saying what they should be thinking, but they're not. And this truly is the armies of the Almighty God. And he's sitting there taunting them and trying to get one of them to come out and to fight with him. Just for sport. You know, he believes that he can take them all on. It's nothing to him. He's not taking into consideration that God's in the situation here and that God is in control of the situation. You know, that's the very key to how that we lose battles today and we follow after the wrong things. And we're afraid sometimes to step out there and be the witness that we should or speak the things, the word, the truth that we should for God in situations because we listen to that same voice of discouragement. And we're afraid. We let fear get in the way of us doing what we know that we should do for the Lord. And I'll tell you here, and I know it for a fact, that if we'll pray to the Lord about situations that we have going on, so many of the times the Lord can work those situations out even before we get there. It's just like I used the examples earlier how the Lord said He'd go out before them. It's like He has ways behind the scenes, pulling the strings. He can make things happen that we can't. And He works them out for us. You know, sometimes it may not be. We may have to just go out there and bear the brunt of it, you know. But we need to learn to stand steadfast no matter if it's just us and the Lord. And He did promise us He'd be there with us and for us. He'd never leave us nor forsake us. So it ain't just us standing out there. You know, and I said this in my sermons before too. If we have the Lord on our side, you know what? Just like David here, we have a majority. We have a winning combination if we have the Lord on our side. And see, that's what David knew. He simply knew that if God is for me, who can be against me? It doesn't matter what the world throws at me. It doesn't matter what the devil throws at me. And he's going to. I have a winning combination here. He give credit to credit is due. He tells them exactly why what is going to happen to Goliath himself. Let's get on down here a little bit. Eliab, his brother here in verse 28, his eldest brother heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab answered, anger was kindled against David, and he said, why comest thou hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down here that thou mightest see the battle. He's using because he's older than him and he's a little shepherd boy, a youth. And he's trying to make him feel ashamed for coming down here and wanting to do what God wanted all of them to do, but none of them had the guts, none of them had the courage to step up to the plate. Even his own brother discouraged him. So there's a message in this. The devil will use anyone and everyone he can. He'll use the people that's closest to you, the people you love the most, to discourage you from doing what is right and what God wants you to do. Don't listen to that voice. Don't listen to that voice. Learn to recognize it when it comes and choose to listen to what God said. Go to the Word. Read the Word. See the strength that's in it and how we're built up and how we're made strong and how just common men, just like this little shepherd boy here, is able to do tremendously great and awesome things. And it has the same power today as it did back then. God is no less. His Word is not dead, contrary to what some people might think. This is God's living Word today. And it's still the same. You know, it's still saving souls every day, just like it did from the very beginning. It's God's perfect plan. You know, the only thing that's different is we're a whole lot weaker, I think. We're so blessed and we've had it so easy and not been persecuted none that we're so weak we're not able to accomplish it sometimes. Verse 31, it said, when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and Saul sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. This man has been fighting war since he was a youth like you. And here you are just a youth yourself. You couldn't know much about this. You can't go out against this man. There's that voice of discouragement again, ain't it? It's coming from all different directions. What if David would just gave in and said, you know, y'all are right. I can't. Think about that's the way it is sometimes with us today. God has very great and awesome things for us to accomplish. And He wants us to do it. And what happens with us? We listen to the voice of discouragement sometimes. And we don't accomplish. We'll never know. We'll never see the awesome things that God can do through us, because sometimes God has to take somebody else and use them, someone like this little shepherd boy, to do what men and women of the Lord should be doing. It says, and David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard, and I smote, and I smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. He's saying, I already killed a lion and a bear. I don't have fear in me. I know that God's with me. I know that I can accomplish whatever, because the Lord's there with me. You know, as Goliath was telling him that he would it says in verse 44, the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thee the flesh, give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field." Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." You know what? If we're listening to this voice of truth, if we're obeying what God has for us, you know what? People will know today that there is a God in America. They'll know that there's a God that we Christians here, right here in Menlo, Georgia, and wherever you're from, around about these areas, that there's a God still there and alive today. And He's just wanting an opportunity to show who He is and what He is. And sometimes it's being missed out on because the way we are, we're not listening and we're not paying attention and we're not accomplishing what He has. If we were, you think this country would be in the kind of shape that it's gone to in the last 20 years? Do you think that the churches would be dwindling down like you see in lots of areas, and even the doors shutting on buildings and they're not even meeting there anymore? Do you think it would be like that? You know, it's like I said last night. We need to start being more than conquerors, overcomers. That's exactly the kind of attitude that we need to have as Christians. We don't need to be beat down and downtrodden and defeated. And when we think that in our minds, you know what we are? We need to believe and know for a truth that God can accomplish anything because He is Almighty God. And He's just looking for ones who are brave and good examples to carry on this fight. And it's spiritual warfare, people. There are people dying and going to hell every day, every night. While we sit by and many times we're fussing and fighting and bickering over technicalities and little small things that are not even relevant to salvation or bringing people in, where if our focus was toward building the church up, uplifting people, teaching the Word, preaching the Word, and living it in our lives, you know what? We wouldn't even have time for none of that. We'd be so busy about doing the work of the Lord that all those things would be gone. It would not even be named as one among us. And we would be like a lighthouse set up on a hill. The world would be able to see and they would want what we have. I like to see it like I've heard stories how when the war was going on or back in the Depression, Daddy'd say, they opened up the windows where people would come and just stand around and listen. They wasn't even sitting room in the churches. You know what? If we was working like we should be and living our lives like we should be, it could be like that again. See, and you might think, no, I just don't believe that it could. Well, you're listening to that voice of discouragement. I'm telling you the words of truth. You look at in Acts on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls heard the truth and they were added to the church. 3,000 souls. If you think the word's less powerful, you're wrong. It can happen today. We're just not doing our part. And it's not about works, but it's about us getting focused and getting our mind in gear and making sure it's a priority. And nothing's more important than it. When we stand before God one day, we'll give an account for what we did and what we didn't for the Lord. And we'll give an account for those people that we didn't talk to about the Lord too. And that'll be a sad day to stand before the Lord and have people's blood upon our head for that. Turn with me, if you would, to Numbers chapter 13. There's a couple of guys here, and you're very familiar with them, I'm sure. Joshua and Caleb. But they seem to have a handle good on the voice of truth, too. They're not listening to the voice of discouragement. They're very in tune with what's going on. Chapter 13, verse 30, it says, "And Caleb stood, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess the land, for we are very well able to overcome it.'" They sent 10 spies into the land. Only 2 came back with an attitude, "Yeah, we can go take it." Why was that? Why did these other 8 think that we could not take this land that God had promised them and brought them and delivered them out of Egypt and took them there? Why did they look at that and think
They couldn't take the land. God had showed them all kinds of miracles and fed them and watered them and all kinds of stuff went on. All kinds of miracles. Saved them in the sea from Pharaoh. Parted the waters like something you've never even seen or could even imagine. You know, if we watch it on TV maybe. But, you know, in reality we couldn't. But God showed them all kinds of things. Why would these people look at these big old huge giants in this land and say, God's saying this is your land and I give it to you and brought you here for this. And it was promised even way back to Abraham, way back there from the beginning when he called him up out of the land of Ur. Why can they not do it? They looked at the physical things again. Here we are, not just one giant, but a bunch of them. They're all big people here. The land is beautiful and flowing with milk and honey, just like God promised. Well, wouldn't you think it's strange that God would tell you the truth about one thing and lie to you about another? The rest of it was, He said, it's yours. Go in and possess it. But they went in and they looked. And they listened to that voice of discouragement, didn't they? They didn't listen to the voice of truth. Oh, Caleb's in tune with it. He said, yeah, let's go. Let's go right now at once. Come on, let's go. We're very well able to possess this land. Why was that? What's the difference? He knew what God had said. It says in verse 31, but the men that went up with him said, we're not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. For they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that saw it, were of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were. And so we were in their sight. That's exactly the key right there. They looked at these big old huge people and they said, you know what? We're grasshoppers in the sight of them. We see ourselves as real little in comparison to them people. But you know what they overlooked? They didn't see that big, huge God that was on their side, did they? No, they was living in that physical realm. They was thinking in that physical realm. That's the very thing. I'm telling you, this should bring up a red flag. Many times in our circumstances and situations that goes on, when we're looking at the physical things and we seem to be defeated, when we're thinking in our logical mind and we just don't see a way that it could happen, then that's when we need to get on our knees and pray to the Lord and ask Him to give us strength to do what He needs for us to do. Amen. Because He will. And help in the situation. And He can. He's a great God. He's the Almighty God. Anyone who can speak this world into creation just by His words, words that has that much power, what is it to Him the things that we go through every day? They're just a little thing. They're not nothing to Him. Very little. Chapter 14, verse 6. It says, Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, it says, which were with them that searched the land. They listened to these people talk and how they were going on with that same kind of thing. They rent their clothes. They started tearing their clothes. They're so discouraged by listening to these people say they can't go in what God brought them here to do, that they start tearing their clothes. That's how sad they were. It says, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it out is an exceedingly good land. And if the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. It says, only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. There it is. Don't look at the physical circumstances. God's on our side. Don't rebel against God. Don't go against what God has said can be and will be. If you just want it to be and you obey Him, if you're righteous unto Him, but it can happen. They're even saying their defenses is gone. It's departed from them. And the reason is because the Lord is with them. He's on their side. That's that majority that I was talking about a while ago. When God is on your side, you have that majority. Amen. If we're Christians, if we're children of the Lord, we know that we always have the Lord with us. He promised He'd never leave us nor forsake us. We're never alone. And who better to have with you?
You know, when you run around in your life, and maybe that you didn't, maybe some of you didn't, but if you ever got into bad territory and you needed somebody to have you back, boy, you wanted the best one you could have with you, didn't you? If you thought you might get on some rough stuff, you'd probably want a big old guy, maybe somebody could fight real good, right? Even better than that, you have the Lord there with you today.
That's even more than any of that. And He said, I'm not going anywhere. I'll always be there, even to the end of the world.
So we should be safe and secure and know that God's got our back. He's there for us. He's watching out over us. He's protecting us. We have all kinds of access to things that we need daily in the Lord. And they're right at our disposal. All we have to do is ask.
So let's think about this when things go on like that.
Now I'm going to try to tie this in. This may be the hard part of this lesson, but we'll see how it goes.
How do we know what voice to listen to? How do we know the voice of truth?
Well, we need something to compare it to, don't we? How do you know something's right and something's wrong? If there's not a standard, you know, if you're going to measure that bench right there, don't you need something that'll measure that bench? Okay, well, we have something right here. I got something. The Word of God, okay? How about that?
We can always know what's right and what's wrong and what's the truth and what's a lie because we have the standard. We have the Word of God. Never failing. Always.
You know, it's like I told you about that commercial that I seen I really did love. It was an advertisement for the New King James version of the Bible. And it had this girl, and she said, my brother's telling me something, my mama's telling me something, my daddy's telling me something, my uncle's telling me something. She said, there's one that I can count on. He's the same all the time. He always tells me the truth. And that's an advertisement for the Bible. How about that?
That's a pretty awesome one, ain't it?
And it shows a guy in the background trying to put a bicycle together, and he's not having a very good time at it. And then it says, when in doubt, read the instructions. Okay? And how many times have you ever been there? I know you men couldn't ever have been there, right? But that's what I always have to do. Get it all together and things don't quite fit in place and there's a few things missing and they won't go on and then you need to go back and read the instructions. Well, that's what we need to do as a Christian too. We need to read the instructions. God has given us a perfect plan. Never failing.
Never failing. It's awesome to me to know that I've got something I can count on all the time to be telling me the truth.
You know, I hear people talking about theories of evolution and all kinds of these such things, but you know what? They're just theories, okay?
And when they contradict the Word of God, they're a lie.
They're wrong. When they cannot be proved, they don't stand any ground with me, okay?
The Bible can be proved, and it is being proved every day. It's been proved all in my life. My faith has been made strong every day. The Lord has built me up and made me stronger and made me know, not a doubt in my mind, that it's true, that it's always true.
And the devil will tell you that it's a lie, and he'll contradict it, and he'll take truths and mix it with lies, just like he did in the beginning, and he'll pick it. Has God said, did this and do that, or what does God say do?
Well, it's okay to do this. Well, it's not.
We need to be steadfast, unmovable. Listen to the Word of God.
And we have it right here. It's not no audible voice God speaking to me. At least He ain't never spoke to me that way. But He speaks to me every day, all through the day in His Word. If I write it in my heart, if I study His Word, if I seek to know Him, if I seek to make Him Lord of my life daily, I commune with Him through His Word. I come to know Him. I have that personal relationship with Him. And that's what God wants. That's what He yearns for and desires. And so do we. That's what fills that void or that deep hole that you have that He made you with that we're trying to cram and pile all kinds of other things into, whether it be drugs or alcohol or whatever we is our big pleasure thing or just what we like or what's something that we look upon as fun or we enjoy or we just try to fill our lives with things that make us happy, that makes us think that we're successful, or we just think we'll feel so good when we get to a certain point of life or when we accomplish certain things in our life and we end up feeling void. Look out in the world. And I see a whole world full of people just like that. And we have the very key to give them, to tell them what will fill that hole, and nothing else will. They're walking around just like in the Bible. He's talked about them whited sepulchers. They look pretty on the outside, and they're going around that like they're happy. But in the inside, there's nothing. They're hollow. They're cold. They're uncaring. They're self-centered. And that's the way, in general, the whole world is. And sad to say, it's had an influence upon the church. And it's wrong. That's the reason I preached the message that I did last night. If you have a chance, listen to it. Preach on love. That's what we need in our hearts. That's what will help us more than anything. We need to be showing God's love to the lost and dying world. We have the keys to the kingdom, if you would. We have the very thing that will help bring people to the Lord, that will help satisfy them. There's no peace without the Lord. You're not going to be content. You're not going to be okay no matter how much money you have, no matter what you have physically. Nothing in this life is going to make you complete but the Lord and Savior Jesus. Nothing. And I know it firsthand. I tried all those other things out there, most of them, a whole bunch of them, more than I ever should. See, I was trained up and brought up right, but I turned away from it. I listened to that lying voice. And I used to say that I wasted 10 years of my life. But it's not true. Because God had a plan all the way through. It helped me to be more compassionate. It helped me to be more understanding. It helped me to not be holier than thou, thinking I could never be there because I've been there. And if we have that attitude, it's wrong. It's not pleasing to God. You cannot reach people if you have that attitude. And none of us are sinless. None of us are perfect. We're just forgiven. That's the only difference in us and an outright sinner is we're forgiven. We have that advocate with our Father. When we do wrong, we can ask for forgiveness, and we're in that relationship with Him, and He gives it. And He'll give us the strength to overcome it too. He'll help us to grow and be stronger, and we can help other people with that. That's the good thing about those years that I thought that I wasted, is that I can help other people to get out of there. And that's the purpose that we all have, to use the things and mistakes in our lives to change other people's lives. And you know what? It makes it where it's not a waste at all when you're able to help someone in need, or maybe keep someone from having to go through what you've done been through yourself. So how do you know if you're a child of the Lord? How do you know if you're a son of God or daughter of God? Turn to Romans chapter 8 and let's read a little bit. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14 it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." We know I hear a lot of people talking about the Spirit of God and what purposes it has or used to have or not and all these things, and everyone has their takes on it. But you know what? All the Scriptures, and digging through, or most of them, are tied in with the Word of God. The Spirit working with the Word of God. They're intertwined, working together. If we have the Word of God written in our hearts, and if we're following after that Spirit of God, you know, in verse 15 of that same chapter, it said, "You have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, Father." In those terms, that meant Daddy, Daddy. That was how they called their daddy. Abba, Father, Father. That's what it meant to them. And it says in verse 16, it says, "And the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." You know what? If your spirit's not bearing witness with the Spirit of God that you're a child of God, then you're not. Our spirit has to come to follow that Spirit of God. It has that perfect plan. It has that knowing exactly what needs to be done. If it's not. And you know what? I'm not talking about like Paul did about our old man, how he continually rises up. But I'm just saying, if we're not following after the things of God, if that's not a number one priority with us, our spirit's not bearing witness like the Spirit of God did then, is it? And this is ways that it's telling you either you are or you're not. If you were adopted in and you are, then that's how it'll be. We have that relationship where we can call Him Daddy, Daddy, if you would. And you could, some people might say, "Oh, that's disrespectful." Well, that's what it says in the Scriptures. No, He wants that just like that. And He really is. I kid about it sometimes and I say, "My daddy owns it all," and I'm not talking about my earthly father. I'm talking about my Heavenly Father. He owns it all. The Scriptures say that He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Why do we not get that joyous feeling and realize we're royalty? Why do we not get that? We don't go around acting like we are, but we should be. We have a relationship, a personal relationship with the Almighty God, with the King of Kings, with the Lord of Lords. Not a false idol, not some other imitation, not some cheap lie thing saying that it is a god or something like Buddha or some of those false gods that people serve after. But the true, the one, Jehovah God. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4 and let's read a little bit. Hebrews chapter 4. We'll start in verse 1. It says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us and entered into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, but being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. And He said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For He spoke in a certain place on the seventh day, and on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all His works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. This ties in with what I was talking about earlier. When we don't have faith and we don't trust in God, we're that same way. It talks about here the ones that it was first preached to that they didn't enter in because of unbelief. You know what? It would be a sad thing for us to not make heaven because we didn't trust in the Lord, because we didn't believe, because we listened to that voice that we shouldn't be listening to. We should be steadfast and we should be always believing in the Lord. He is more than able to accomplish anything that we need. Goes on in verse 7. Again, He limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then what would He not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth, therefore, a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into His rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as did God from His. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest that any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Seeing then we have a great High Priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a High Priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of God, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. That's a pretty awesome thing, ain't it? To think about the Word of God being like it is, sharper than any two-edged sword, even able to divide asunder the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. And listen, it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of your heart. That's where that conversation goes on that I was talking about a while ago. This working in here with this Word is, it's the thought process. That's the battlefield of your spiritual life is right there in your mind. You're going to win or you're going to succeed in the Lord if you win that battle in your mind. If you realize what's going on, you put your faith and your trust in the Lord and you be obedient to Him and do those things. Like this here, how that Jesus, He's that great High Priest. We don't just have any high priest. We have that great high priest. He's at the right hand of God making intercession for us. You know, it's when, oh, Darrell falls short of God's glory. You know what? Jesus is sitting there saying, yeah, I paid the price for him. He belongs to me. Please be merciful. Please forgive him. He's there making intercession for me between God. God is so holy and mighty. I cannot stand before God. I cannot be accepted before God except it be that way. And no one else can either. If you don't have the Lord Jesus there being your high priest in between you and God, you're not going to make it into heaven. You're going to be eternally lost. You're going to be cast into the outer darkness, that everlasting burning lake of fire and brimstone. That's what's going to be. It's going to be wailing and gnashing of teeth. It's going to be awful. You know, and it's sad how when you tell people of this and they don't want to accept it, like it's not a reality. But sure as there's a heaven, there's a hell. As sure as the Word of God is true and everything else that can be proven, and man, we can get all kinds of proof that it's true about heaven and hell just the same. And it's certain that we're going to stand before God one day and give an account for things we did in this flesh or not. I love it how it says about Jesus here that He's not someone, a high priest, that can't be touched with the feelings of our infirmity. He's not somewhere far off in heaven where we can't reach Him. He's ready and accessible. You know, I liked how David talked about it. He's at my right hand that I should not be moved. I always foresaw the Lord before my face. It talks about it in Acts. It talks about it in Psalm. Those very same things. I love that. He lived his life because he looked and he always saw the Lord right there with him. He was at his right hand so that he wouldn't be moved. That's the kind of high priest that we have. And he was tempted just like you are every day. But yet he sinned not. You know, I use this illustration quite a bit too. If we pick out the best person that we know and we set our goals, man, I'd like to be like them. And we should have people that we could say we'd like to be like for sure. But you know what? If we only get to be halfway to our goal there, we're not getting very high, are we? But if we set our sights on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who was sinless, who was perfect, man, if you accomplish halfway there, look how far you have obtained. And it's not nothing of you, but it's just look who you pattern your life after. He set the example of how we should live in all kinds of examples. And the rest of them we're told in God's Word exactly. I mean, there's not nothing that there's not a principle laid down in the Word of God. And there's so many things that apply specifically to what we're dealing to in the Word of God. And telling us how we should live and what we should do. So there's no excuse. You're without excuse here tonight, not knowing what right and wrong to do, because you have the Word of God. And I pointed you to it and told you how what it is and how we need to use it. When you stand before God, that's what you're going to be judged by. You know, some people don't believe there's going to be a hell, but it don't change in any. There's still going to be one. Some people don't believe in God. Do you think it changes in any? No, there's still a God. He's still there. I talk to Him quite frequently, as a matter of fact. I know He's still there. He answers my prayers. I know He's still there. He shows Himself daily and hourly and all around. If you don't believe me, just write down what you pray to the Lord. And you look back on it in a few months and you see how many of those prayers have already been answered. Very specific things that you ask from God that no one else knows but you and Him. And you see if it's not answered. Might not be like you want it sometimes, but it'll be the right way, and it'll be the best thing for the situation. Amen. And I love this last part here too. Let us therefore come boldly into that throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. You know what? The Lord's always there in our time of need. And you know what? We all need mercy. And that's the only way we're going to get to heaven. Man, there's no way I can work my way into heaven. But I am required to work diligently, steadfast, unmovable, do everything that I can to help bring people to the Lord before the end of time comes. Or till I go meet the Lord. And I will give account to Him one day for that. And so will you. If you're not a child of God tonight, you'd like to become one, if there's anything that I can do and we can do to help you, if you are a child of God and you'd like our prayers for you for any reason, and not just here tonight. You can call me anytime you need to. I can give you my number. My number's in the phone book. And there's some other brothers, Emerson here, my father, anyone. plenty of people that will be glad to help you any way, anytime, anyhow when it comes to your soul or anything other that we can help you with. If you're subject to an invitation, come as we sing the song that's been selected.